Now to today's afternoon play. Brian Cox and Siobhan Redmond star in a new series of the Victorian detective series McCleavy by David Ashton. Episode 1, The Blue Gown.
You broke the rules, Ellen.
I didn't know, sir.
Forbidden. One and all, I give shelter, and what do you do?
I was cold, sir.
You broke the rules.
You as well.
What?
You break them. One and all.
I give you friendship. Innocent enough.
It's not fair.
You've betrayed me and the mistress. Caused her terrible grief.
It wasn't my intention.
She's pronounced judgment. Come before me, please. You are the best of all clever wee fingers. Now I must lose you.
Where am I to go?
The streets. You must leave now with what you stand up in, I regret to say.
What about the money I'm owed?
The mistress has decreed it will pay in part for your sin.
It's cold out there, it's freezing.
You'll find somebody. A pretty girl like you, I'll wager you have someone on hand already, waiting in the dark.
I've nobody.
I'm sorry to hear such, but I can't quite believe a pretty wee girl like you.
Please, Corey, please. I'll make it up.
It's not my decision. It's the mistress.
You're at our beck and call.
We all are, Ellen. 10 o'clock approaches. You must leave before the last strike.
Christmas has come and gone. Festive jollity, goodwill to all men, scalped off right up the lum. A new year. Edinburgh's covered in white. A hard frost that grips to the streets and buildings. Church spires adorned with icing sugar. A veritable sweetie shop. Treacherous underfoot. Slippery. Like a lover's kiss. Oh! Oh, I'm congested with phlegm. And coffee with a drama. Whiskey, can I shift it? What a bugger. All laid out like a picture card. White for innocence. Have I prepared the dark myself? Innocence, huh? Where does that get you? I suppose there's some remnants we have not disowned, banished, buried deep, which follow us yet like a stunted shadow. To wit, some time before, one Jean Brash, a body whose keeper and an inspector of police, James McCleavy, spent an enforced sojourn together in a cave due to a deadly crack shot waiting to kill them outside the mouth of said orifice. During that night, a ceremony of innocence was performed. At least that's how I saw it. The trace lingers still, so Jean and I have to deal with it. Being a man, I have resolved to ignore the matter entirely and get on with my job. I don't know how body whose keepers deal with innocence. All is frozen, held in suspense. My constable, Mulholland, his bees sleep canny in the hive. Lieutenant Roach curses the covering that precludes his escape to golf and pins him within the sticky web of culture weaved by his good wife. And I also wait in a doorway outside a tavern, on a bridge, under a window, by a corner, in the dark depths of a garden, down some twisted wind in Leith Harbour, where the boats creak on the crust of the sea. I wait for a blow to crack this cage of ice.
Well, this is a nice start to the year.
I don't suppose the poor girl had much choice in the matter.
No, I suppose not.
Found by the harbour, tarry breeks on the way back from a royster. Called the watch.
Good of them.
And they were foreigners.
Oh, well, that would explain.
No identification on the corpse. A thin dress, nothing more.
Body rigid, frozen to death, no doubt.
Possibly helped by this large dunt to the side of her head.
Possibly caused when she fell over, drunk.
A thin skull, I wondered.
Some have.
some have not.
The police surgeon will clarify.
Aye, you cannot beat a man of medicine.
So, another casualty of the poor to join all the rest.
You sound resigned, sir.
Well, they lead such careless lives.
As the constable said, they don't have much choice.
I didn't say that exactly, but it's true enough.
Well, it's a rare agreement. What do you propose to do, Inspector?
Bring those responsible for her death under the wheel of law.
How? No identity, and Leith is a large conglomeration.
I'll begin at the fingers.
What?
Her fingers. See? The ends. Cuts. Small scars. Pinpricks. Old and new.
Where she didn't use the thimble.
A seamstress. We'll try the sweatshops.
Well, there's enough of them. I suppose the hair colouring might help.
Aye. Red. Like the devil's tongue.
I believe you may know someone else of that tincture. Jean Brash. No wonder you're so exercised.
I'm on the side of anyone who is harmed without reparation.
On you go, then. In my opinion, a waste of time. It'll be a drunken brawl, a harsh collision, and a haphazard fate. Just another casualty.
Lieutenant Roach seems out of kilter.
His golf is frozen over. Tragedy strikes.
Very poetic.
That's me. Come along, Mulholland. I trust your footwear is secure.
Got my old hurley boots. They grip just dandy.
There's no end to your mystery, Constable. Every day, a new unfolding.
Break! Damn you.
You girls, where are you?
Just getting dressed, mistress. Oh, it's that cold.
Well, this'll warm you up.
Is it not dangerous?
What?
Making ice you're standing up on.
If not, my fish will starve to death.
I don't think fish do that.
These are ornamental. Oh, and never you mind. By God, if Hannah Semple was here, she'd throw you out that window.
Aye, but she's away with her sick sister, so we're safe enough.
Are you being cheeky, Nettie Musgrove?
No, Mistress Brash.
You get out here with shovel and pick before I wring your damned necks.
Aye, right away, mistress.
Young, no respect. Think they'd be grateful. Clothes on their backs. See what I had at their age. Oh! Now, come on, Jean. Just imagine it's McCleavy's thick and ignorant skull. And where has he been these days, eh? Just imagine.
We may have got lucky.
I hope so. My feet are freezing.
Two pairs of socks and Jack Frost can whistle, my Aunt Katie always says.
It's been a long day, Mulholland.
Old Sally Gorman owes me a favour.
Did you buy the socks from her?
I saved her daughter from a fate worse than death.
When was it?
Before I met you, sir. An embryonic constable. The poor lass attacked in one of the wines. I saw the fella off.
You bring him in?
I'm more concerned with the girl.
Always render the assailant unconscious.
I didn't have my hornbeam stick then.
Well, you have it now. What did you find?
A local girl's by from Sally. She knew the little seamstress from depiction. Ellen Carson. A lively wee thing, hair like a flame, but a frailty to her, Sally said, always shaking like a leaf.
Where does she bide?
In a sweatshop nearby. Sally also gave me the name of the man who rules the roost.
The slave trader, eh?
His appellation might ring a bell, sir.
Corey Metcalf. You're up in the world.
Just kick the door in, McCleavy. Don't mind me.
You were a snotty-nosed wee Keely.
A man can change, surely.
Ellen Carson.
What?
You know the name.
I might.
She works for you.
Not now.
What do you mean?
Left some days afore, sadly.
How's that?
These girls come and go. You try to take care of them, but they...
She's dead.
What?
In the bitter cold, frozen stiff.
That's terrible.
Isn't it just...
You wouldn't know anything about it.
No, just left. I thought she must have found herself a fancy man.
A wound to her head.
Oh, dear. Maybe he did it, eh?
Maybe.
I was sorry to see her go. She was a good worker, but never still. I had a lip on her, full of complaints.
About what?
The rules. Every shop has its rules.
Such as slaving for a pittance?
I pay these girls what society allows. I am within the law.
Yeah. I'll need to talk with them.
Next door. I'll show you. I have nothing to hide, Inspector.
Number of times I've heard those words.
I never believed them yet.
The room next door put me in mind of bedlam. Women crammed together like condemned souls as they cut, sewed and shaped, fingers never still, like so many demented worms. Standing round were the dummies on which the completed gowns hung free, heading for a much better life than their creators. It was freezing cold, and the women were as pale as ghosts, worn out from labour and bound to slavery. Somewhere, a rich wifey drapes herself. The husband nods. A stiff price is paid. The poor deprived, the rich enhanced, and pimps in the middle reap a fine profit. It is always so with pimps and capital. My heart sank when I saw those faces. Beaten, withdrawn, life sucked out of them. A few of the younger girls may have had spirit, but they kept their heads down, would not meet my eye. I was authority, an agent of the very force that unfairly held them in thrall. Ellen Carson no longer existed. A shake of the head, nothing to tell. Corey Metcalf smiled, and I was sick at the thought that the law to which I held so fast did nothing to help these poor creatures. So they shook their heads. Ellen Carson did not exist.
Well, that was a waste of time.
At least he didn't punch his nose.
Corey presents a different man now.
Aye, smooth at the edges.
How did that happen, I wonder? And where did he find the wherewithal to start the shop? That takes capital.
There's always somebody to invest. Money makes money.
He's hiding something.
That's what you'd like to believe.
If we might get the women to talk.
Not a hope in hell. Not the likes of us.
No, no. Ah, well. Sufficient unto the day. We'll begin again tomorrow.
That means you're up to something, and you don't desire my presence.
Away him to your bees, Mulholland.
Your servant, aye. Wait. Is that not the lieutenant?
Where?
Helping that woman into the carriage.
So it is. That's no his wife.
Not unless she's lost a few years.
You see the way she leans on his arm? Their heads very close together. He holds her by the elbow. Oh, dearie me, Mulholland.
I'm sure there's an innocent explanation.
Quick! Don't let him see us.
Why not?
He may not want to.
She's gone. So is he. Differing directions.
Love is a terrible thing, Constable.
Out of sight.
It creeps upon you unawares. Creep, creep.
Home to the bees. I prefer the natural world to human machinations.
I am precisely opposite. We shall say nothing to the lieutenant. Save perhaps in a roundabout way.
An innocent explanation?
Innocence? Can cover a multitude of sins.
So, you finally show your face.
I've been busy.
With dead bodies.
That's my job. And I've a bad chest.
Put a poultice on it.
Your nails are all chapped.
I've been breaking the ice. You know the sensation.
These women wouldn't have talked to me.
That's because you're a brute. Cut off from feeling. A hairy ape. Women can sense such.
Is that a fact?
But sometimes they go against their better judgment.
With another woman, perhaps.
What?
Would they speak to another woman?
So that's why you're here.
And the coffee.
I'll do it. On one condition. After the act, you and I talk turkey.
Christmas is over.
Don't be smart. Well,
I don't know.
Anything to pursue a case, McCleavy?
I still don't know.
Such dedication. It would melt the heart.
Paperwork. Never ending.
A shared predicament, sir.
Anything but McCleavy.
He shoves it in the bottom drawer.
Exactly.
Ah, but you can't hide forever. The truth will out. Eh, Lieutenant?
Huh? I've got the police surgeon's report somewhere. Oh!
What is it, sir?
Oh, it's an ache in the bone. Slipped last night.
In what fashion?
The ice, McCleavy, on my posterior.
A sore behind is a terrible thing, sir. Mm? Now, my Aunt Katie over.
How's Mrs. Roach?
What?
Has she slipped recently?
Ah, here it is, the report. Yes, here, there. Examine at your leisure. Oh! As regards Mrs. Roach, she has taken to her bed, some ague of sorts, over the last few nights. We even missed a song recital, Death and the Maiden.
Schubert.
A dreadful loss.
No opinion whether the wound from a delivered blow or an accidental fall. Either case, the cold finished her off. Body undernourished. Evidence of flea and louse bites. Nothing we didn't know already.
Can I have a look, please?
Only half a page.
But official.
Paper thin. I was right. The skull.
Must leave you at a loose end.
What?
Mrs. Roach being hors de combat.
I am never at a loose end, McCleavy.
Neither am I, sir. Neither am I.
If only my mother could see me now.
Enjoy yourself, Maureen.
I can't stay long.
I won't get you into trouble. Here, have a wee nip of brandy for the cold.
Oh, thank you. Mmm. Lovely. Put hairs on your chest, eh?
I trust not. Sally Gorman tells me you were Ellen's best friend.
I was too, poor girl.
What was she like?
Great fun, a real live wire, always on the edge.
The edge?
A tremor to her sometimes.
How did she get on with Corey Metcalf?
Nobody gets on with him. Hands all over the place. Just being friendly, he says. Friendly, my arse and parsley. If you don't mind, why are you asking?
Have another snifter.
Do a guy? I mean, you're Jean Brash above them all.
A friend of mine wants to make sure that Ellen is not forgotten.
That's decent. I'll be sound crooked this day.
Did anything happen with her? Recent? Anything out of the ordinary?
Not much. She was such a clown, made us laugh. God knows we needed it.
Not much, you said?
Ugh, nothing really.
I can always ask the other girls.
One thing. A big fuss. A dress Ellen had made. She was the best class, but a big fuss. Corey and that stuck-up bitch.
Tell me a wee thing more.
Can I help, madam?
I hope so. I'm looking for something to wear. Something nice.
Could madam be a little more particular?
For the evening. Crushed silk. Azure blue.
I'm afraid that is not in stock.
Oh, what a pity. A friend saw just the thing in here. Just the thing, she said, for you. A blue gown, azure.
When was this?
2-3 weeks. Not sure, you know what friends are like.
It may have been on order.
Who bought it then?
Orders are confidential.
Oh, I see. What a pity, eh?
We have many other colours.
No, it would have to be that, exactly. Nice wee shop. Cozy.
My lady's boutique. Exclusive for a certain class of people. Respectable.
That's nice. It must be hard to keep this up.
I beg your pardon?
The shop, the cost, pay everybody.
I make a good profit.
So do I.
Are you not Jean Brash?
C'est moi. I meet respectable folk as well, in my profession. Mostly men, but not always.
I'm sorry, I cannot help you, madam.
Not at all. I've enjoyed myself. Hugely.
You did what?
Look at them go. Must be starving.
You
hungry.
Are to find out and report back, nothing more.
I am not your property, James, and you owe me for services rendered.
I promised nothing.
Your silence said it all.
Yeah, we'll discuss this later.
Damn right we will.
Very well. Carry on.
Corey Metcalf supplies my ladies with their wares. The owner is one Christine McKenna.
How did a wee Keely like him get that kind of connection?
Who knows? But there was a problem with one of the dresses, a blue gown. Ellen Carson made it. She told Maureen that she was in trouble, then she was gone.
Then she was dead. Anything else?
Always on the edge, Maureen said. A tremor to her, Ellen. Shook like a leaf.
Is that it?
I have a notion Maureen was holding something back, but she had to leave before I could investigate further.
By filling her full of brandy?
Sally Gorman told me Maureen has a weakness for such. Worked a treat.
So then you took it upon yourself?
I did, indeed. That nabby cow, milady. She was lying in her teeth.
Lying? How?
Well, one thing, she could have offered to have the gown done special, measured me up and made a sale, but she couldn't get rid of me quick enough.
Ah. So, where is the blue gown?
Her order book is lying by the till. You'd have to steal it, or have a keek in.
Oh, not much to go on.
Better than nothing.
Oh, I'm frozen standing here.
No one's keeping you, but we will talk.
I'll be seeing you, Jean Brash.
I'll be waiting, James McLeavy. There you are. Just crumbs. Sometimes you have to nibble before the big bite.
If you might just tell your mistress, it is police procedure and highly important.
Very well, sir.
Next time you decide to use a body housekeeper as your fellow investigator, kindly let me know. I'll stay at home.
How are the bees?
Hibernating.
Madam will see you presently.
Thank you.
Keep me in the dark. You want to be the kingpin so that you solve it all. Like it or lump it, I am your partner and I deserve better. And as for the lieutenant, roundabout be buggered.
It was very subtle.
Like a sledgehammer.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
The police, madam. We've had reports of an epidemic of shoplifting in this area, and my constable would like to inspect the premises to establish security procedure.
If I might begin over by the window...
I don't quite see how...
Never underestimate the ingenuity of felons, madam.
You see, if I wedged myself behind the dummies here, I could stretch out a hand and... Oh, dear. Down like ninepins. Now, don't you worry yourself. I'll be picking them up in a trice.
No! Please do not stand on the dresses.
It's only my hurley boots.
Do not move! Ladies, help, please!
No great harm done. Lucky the floor is clean, eh?
I think, Constable, it would be best for you to depart.
Fair enough. The security seems fine.
Where is the other one?
Here, madam. This book was knocked over in the kerfuffle. I just retrieved it, so...
Thank you so much. And goodbye.
Well, I made a right idiot of myself.
Oh, you'd never notice.
Next time you act the fool, it'll come more natural.
Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. The young chevalier.
Well, was it worth the provocation?
3 weeks ago, a blue gown was delivered to an address in Chambers Street.
Over the bridge, out of our parish.
Ellen Carson's body was found in Leith. Bodies come first.
Oh, sounds like consumption.
That's nice.
What are we going to say?
I don't have a clue.
Yes?
Mr. Andrew Crichton.
Have you come about the death?
Yes, we have.
I thought it to be all over.
Who is that, Andrew?
It's the police.
Bring them in. Bring them in.
Very well. My wife is somewhat overwrought. You will take care.
Yes, of course.
I thought you had given up.
No, we rarely do that.
What have you found?
Sarah.
How did it happen?
Sarah, calm yourself. You are not as before.
Aren't we?
May I see your accreditation?
Certainly. My warrant card.
Inspector James McLeavy. You're the thief taker. From Leith. What have we to do with Leith?
What does it matter? Do you know? How did it happen?
We are in the course of investigation.
That dress in the corner on the mannequin, is it recently delivered?
Yes, she picked it. To go with her eyes. Blue. I thought wrong. Too bright. But she was correct when she tried it on. Beautiful.
We mustn't dwell, Sarah. It does no good.
I need to know.
What the hell is all this?
Cross purpose.
That would be your daughter.
Yes. Imogen. Moggy, I call her. She was to wear it on her birthday. 18. That night. But then she died. All of a sudden.
Natural causes, ma'am.
If you call typhus fever natural.
Imogen had no defense against it. A coma, then a cardiac cessation, so the doctor said. The Lord has taken her to his bosom.
How did it happen? You must tell me.
I believe I must first examine that dress.
Why?
Perhaps it is the key.
Take it, take it.
You must rest now, Sarah.
I have a clean house. How did it happen?
Upstairs now. You must calm yourself.
I have a clean house.
I would be obliged, Inspector, if you might quit my home.
Lay it over your arm, Constable.
What?
The blue gown.
He didn't say.
She did. A mother's wishes are paramount.
Oh, you're out on a limb here.
That's where I like to be, Mulholland.
You must rest, Sarah. Take some laudanum.
No.
The doctor prescribed it to you.
No. It makes me sleep. And then I dream.
It is the Lord's will.
I dream she is alive and smiling. And then I wake.
You must rest.
I will never. Until I find out the truth.
The truth?
Why did she die, Andrew?
It is the Lord's will.
I keep a clean house. Not one speck of dirt. A clean house.
Let us pray. We will find comfort.
I don't think so.
I've seen many things on the cold slab, but an evening gown is not one of them.
Can you hand me that sharp knife?
Are you operating now?
In a manner of speaking.
I know Andrew Crichton. Dry stick, a good businessman.
Ruthless, you mean?
A shrewd investor.
Is that a fact? Well, well.
Are you certain he gave permission for all this?
His wife insisted. Small cutter, please.
In your hand? What in God's name are you doing now?
Laying open the seam of the sleeves. Magnifying glass.
Oh, here you are, Professor.
A useful errand, you see.
Hold still, Constable. We are at the moment of truth.
Look through the glass, sir. What do you see? In the crevices of the sleeve.
Insects. Small and dead.
Body lice. Pediculus humanus. They can carry disease from one skin to another.
Well, the police surgeon confirmed that Ellen Carson had traces of low-grade typhus. Didn't think to mention it in his report, he said. The poor are often so.
Their bodies are immune to it. Fever can pass through, but they are contagious.
You are suggesting this gown is the source of the disease?
That killed Imogen Crichton, yes.
She would have been bitten by the lice, scratched it herself.
Rubbed the infected feces into the wound and thence to the bloodstream.
And you think Ellen Carson, the carrier?
Two separate witnesses. She had a tremor, shook like a leaf, fever symptoms.
But how would the lice get into the sleeves?
Ellen must have done something. So when the news of the Crichton death reached Christine McKenna, first thought would be to tell Corey Metcalf, rider of the gallop.
But not necessarily kill her.
That gash on her head, it might still be murder.
It raises a strong motive, one way or the other.
But how do you prove it, one way or the other?
That, Lieutenant, is the next problem.
Well, how did you find that, my lady?
Quite satisfactory.
You never had a man like me, eh?
Full of vigour. I like that.
You're a lucky woman.
No, Corrie. You're the fortunate one. If not for me, you'd still be on the streets.
We were both lucky.
Oh, I like a man who stands up for himself. Yeah. Oh, what a clever woman. Buy the sweatshop, put you in charge, Cheap labour, no dealer in the middle, and satisfaction on the side.
Aye, I suppose so.
Not long and I'll pay off all the investors. No more favours granted, no more interest paid. All mine.
A good plan. Save the one thing.
Ellen Carson could have ruined it all.
If he knew, took out all his money...
But he doesn't know. The money's safe.
And she got what she deserved.
You did not harm her, though.
No, just shoved her out the door. Winter did the rest. How was I to know she'd freeze to death?
Oh, come here. I'll take your mind off such.
What is it?
Oh, I had the police in the shop today. Crashing around. What fools they are.
Aye, tatty heeds. Nae match for you and me, eh? We rule the world.
What are they doing here? I thought it was just you, Mrs. Brash.
Get in, Maureen. It's too damned cold.
I have a reputation to uphold.
Safe in our hands.
Have a wee nip. Warm you up.
Aye, right. Good quality. Not like the dregs in that tavern.
A Dublin girl, by the sound.
Born and bred.
Drive on, Angus.
I know you two. One worse than t'other.
They want to help.
Police, that'll be the day.
Your friend, Ellen Carson. I believe her death may not have been an accident.
How so?
Possible murder.
God protect us.
Maureen, when we talked, I felt there was something more you wanted to say.
Not me, nothing.
The blue gown. Did Ellen ever put it on?
How do you know that?
He's good at guessing.
Best tell the truth, Maureen.
I just... It was... She was being a clown, you know. She said she was cold, stuck her arms inside the sleeves.
For a bit of fun, like.
That's so. She had the dress around, pretending to dance. What a laugh. But somebody told Corey, and later, when the big fuss happened, she was in trouble.
It was you, Maureen. You told him.
Mistress Brash. God forgive me, I did. I was trying to get in with him so he'd pick me out. I betrayed her, but I didn't mean harm. I didn't know what happened later.
Of course not.
I did bad.
You can make up for it.
I heard them that night.
What?
Head on the table, dead asleep. And voices woke me. Shouty through the door.
You're still here, Ellen.
My mother's bits and pieces. Needles and thread, cutting shears, left to me. That's all I ask.
You have nothing now.
I want my possessions. My blanket.
Leave it for the fleas.
I want my mother's stuff, my legacy.
I'll burn it first.
You give it to me.
Didn't you touch me, you stupid wee bitch. You caused this, and here is your reward. Aye, well, you asked for that. I'm dumping you myself, Ellen, a nice wee corner on the docks. You can find yourself a sailor boy.
I saw him through the window, loading the cart and drive off. Did bad.
You've done well now, Maureen.
You will have to testify.
I'll do it. God help me. Can I have another slug, Mistress Brash?
I don't see why not.
I can't go back there.
She can stay the night at the Just Land.
That's possible. Stop here.
No rest for the wicked.
And our work is not yet done.
So now we know the whole sorry story.
There may be other twists.
You'll no forget your promise, James McCleavy. On you go, Angus.
Aye, Mister.
Promise?
The woman has no mercy. Ah, they're all like that. Oh, that's just dandy.
Ah, melt up the frost.
To slush. Oh, I can feel the damp rising. And I'm hungry.
Well, a restaurant over there, but they won't do a meat roll by the hand, I doubt.
No, no, but it looks very inviting. Wait now. In the corner. Is that not the lieutenant? Again?
I can't see it. Yes, it is. With the same woman. Heads close together.
Deary me, what's going on with the world? Just hand the keys to us, Corey. You won't need them.
What are you talking about, McCleavy?
We have a witness to your death-dealing assault upon Ellen Carson.
You're under arrest, my money.
You want the keys, MacLeavy? You can have them.
He went past you like a ghost.
Oh, I slipped in the slush and my trousers are all soaking.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to keep up.
Well, it's all right for some. You've got the holly boots.
We've lost him.
No. There. See? At the jetty.
Trying to jump the other side.
If he does so, we're in trouble.
Oh, dear. How sad. Fell short.
Help me, MacLeavy! I can't swim!
Neither can I. Too bad. Over to you, Mulholland.
Is there not a rope somewhere?
That's the second time he's gone under.
Oh, for God's sake. Hold my coat and helmet. Don't go anywhere, Corey. I'm on my way.
I believe I'm catching my death. Water. It's such a dangerous proposition.
Nice the weather's changed.
Who are you?
Who I always am, Mulholland.
Why aren't you somebody else?
I've come for the Dublin girl.
Where's MacLeavy?
Otherwise engaged.
Meaning?
We were busy last night. Arrested Corey Metcalf and hammered at him for hours till he spilled the beans.
So?
He confessed the assault. Claims the McKenna woman gave orders.
You think that's true?
They can argue over the toss.
But when it comes to trial, she'll be ruined.
The respectable class won't touch her with a barge pole.
Good. So where is MacLeavy?
Ill in bed.
I don't believe you.
He was coughing fit to bust. I had to send him home.
I'll go and get Maureen.
Do that.
How stricken is he, really?
I look terrible. A death's door.
Not bad enough. Not by a long chalk.
Maureen Purdy has made statements, sir.
Ah, good, good. It is curiously quiet without MacLeavy.
I sent him round a beeswax poultice.
Ah, well, one falls, one rises.
Beg pardon, sir?
Oh, Mrs. Roach has recovered her spirits up and about, thank the Lord. And we may bid goodbye to her cousin.
Cousin?
Yes, she's been helping. I've had to squire her all over the place, though.
A younger woman?
Ah, yes, pretty enough. Socially, rather maladroit.
In what way, sir?
My wife insisted I take her out for a meal last night to thank her, but it was not an easy matter.
Why?
The poor woman is partly deaf. In order to communicate, you have to place the mouth close to her ear and speak very clearly. I found it quite exhausting.
I'll have to tell the inspector.
Well, you'll be taking his place till he returns from the dead, because you never know. One day, Mulholland...
I'm sure it's all marked out.
And you can make a start by opening the bottom drawer of his desk.
The abandoned paperwork.
Good practice. Off you go now.
Thank you, sir. Most kind.
Oh, and Mulholland.
Yes?
When you've done, come back and have a malt whiskey with me to celebrate the strange, unnatural peace that has descended upon our station.
I'll do just that.
You don't look well, Inspector.
I'm not. But I rose from my sickbed because I believe you and I must talk.
I have received notice from your station as regards the allegations.
Allegations?
It all seems far-fetched to me.
No doubt. When I looked at the order book in that shop, I noticed something. Then a chance remark of my lieutenant plagued me.
If you would be brief.
At every name and address where the gowns had been sent, there was a price mark. But not yours. Simply a letter. Aye.
What has this to do with anything?
Aye. For investor. I made some inquiries amongst my financial contacts and received response not long ago. I may be sick, but I can still read.
My wife is also in her sick bed, so I must
ask you... You make your money by investing in shops, businesses, supply capital at a high rate of interest, reap the rewards.
That's perfectly acceptable.
Milliners, high-class couturiers, that is your main thrust.
I have a varied portfolio.
These shops bring high profit, built upon the labour of the poor. Slave labour.
I follow the dictates of society.
Milady's boutique. Your money was the blood in its veins and the exploitation upon which it was founded caused the death of your own daughter.
How dare you?
The blue gown cost you nothing. And everything.
Get out of my house!
I will go. But you, Mr. Crichton, you must stay here. Good night.
Andrew? Who was that? I thought I heard voices.
It was no one. Nothing.
Was it Margie? Imogen? Oh. Such a scatterbrain. Never know whether she's coming or going. Scatterbrain.
Ellen Carson, if not avenged, will at least receive some justice. And I hope her soul rests easy with that. I closed the door on Andrew Crichton and left him to his Christian conscience. As we had talked, he held the Bible before him like a shield. Religion, society's law, wealth of capital. They cling to each other like three shipwrecked sailors, terrified to lose their grip, lest all drown in the stormy sea. I've donned the beeswax poultice Mulholland's landlady concocted in the hope it doesn't turn me into a hairy insect. So far, I feel no relief. Oh, dearie me. I've also received a far from Billy Doo from Jean Brash, and no matter how many times I peruse, it still reads the same. James McCleavy, don't think you're getting away with anything. The frost may melt, but I have not. Hurry up and get well. You'll need the strength. That is scandalous. One night in a cave and a woman takes it all for granted. I will go to bed and hope for better prospects in the morning. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. I have an uneasy feeling in my breast. I hope it's just a malady and nothing more deadly on the approach. Creep. Creep.
In McCleavy by David Ashton, McCleavy was played by Brian Cox, Jean Brash by Siobhan Redmond, Mulholland, Michael Percival Maxwell, Roach, David Ashton, Corey Metcalf, Ian Robertson, Andrew Crichton, David Rintoul, Sarah Crichton, Tracy Wiles, Christine McKenna, Jane McKenna, and Maureen by Victoria Inez Hardy. The director was Bruce Young.